Blog Talk Radio.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today. Sporting backpacks and they're on their way, yo. Trying to learn the things we like. Going to my class, everything's alright, oh. No one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No,
whatever grade level or type of school,
my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together,
I'm shaping students that'll shape forever.
The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse.
Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, you're opening up the minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I run my class like I know I should.
I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood. I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah.
Getting my class to spread the wind.
Being at school makes me wanna sing, oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together. Teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed. If you don't grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on time, gotta open up their eyes.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
Teacher, I'm a teacher, yeah,
yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. You're jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine.
Oh, class is online,
gonna open up the minds.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.
Open up the minds.
Come along with me
and let's be real good teachers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Teacher Talks, debuting live on Tribe Family Channel with Stacy McClam, JDMED, and Beverly Black, founder of Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program. The topic will be secondary traumatic stress. Join us for an informative discussion about trauma in schools affecting educators and students, also known as secondary traumatic stress. Now, both of the hosts will share enlightening information and welcome your calls and input. The number to call is 347-539-5285, or you can listen online, live, and archived once the show is over. And that would be by following our studio, blogtalkradio.com/ Gumbo for the Soul. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Beverly Black, and I am the creator of Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. It is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to welcome with me Stacey McClam, educator, activist, author, radio personality. Hello, Stacey. How are you, my queen and sister?
Hi, Beverly. How are you doing today? I'm glad to be here.
I'm blessed. You know what? I'm glad to be here, too. I have a warm cup of coffee, or a hot cup of coffee, I should say. Warm coffee. That don't even sound right. And I'm just blessed to be in this moment sharing with my sister. You know, we're going to bring our enlightening, thought-provoking words and have this discussion based on our experiences. And so for our listeners, the first thing I'd like to do is qualify ourselves by telling them a little bit about who we are. And I'm going to allow you to go first, Queen. Tell our listeners who Stacey McClam is.
Okay, so I am an educator at heart. That's what I always say. I feel like I was maybe born to be a teacher. It's all, what I always wanted to do. It was always the career path that I thought of, and it seemed most natural to me. I'm not sure if that's because my grandmother was a teacher, and growing up I always heard my mother talking about her mother, my grandmother, and how because my grandmother was a teacher in segregated Virginia, that's why her family, you know, was very well respected, and it was such an honor to her for her mother to be a teacher. I used to hear these things as a little girl, so that made me want to be a teacher too. So I've taught for over 9 years. I've taught in different states and in two countries, and I've in the U.S., the three states I've taught in, I've seen the same pattern over and over of trauma and having to deal with students who have a lot of challenging issues. So it made me, you know, question what to do, like what are the solutions, how do we solve these problems, because it doesn't seem like this is the kind of information that's talked about in schools as much as it needs to be. So, for example, I have not had any professional development workshops at school on this ever in 9 years, and our students are definitely dealing with it. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring awareness, and that's about it.
Well, congratulations to you, and we're going to delve into what you've done to bring awareness. And let me qualify myself. I am Beverly Black. I'm also known as Beverly Black Johnson. I became an advocate for education while raising my kids and noticing that some of their playmates after school were the ones that were falling behind or had flunked and been held back altogether. And in an effort to be of some assistance, because I have always been reared around the written word and books and always encouraged to read, and I grew up fond of writing and poetry and just being creative, a creative writer. So when noticing that these children were being held back, it prompted an aspect of my now publishing career that brought forth a book, The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, to address the dropout rate amongst Black youth and the low enrollment of college rates. But with the children growing up that were being held back, I would have them come to my kitchen table after school to study, do homework. And, you know, there was pushback from the students. But I didn't want anyone hanging with my kids if they weren't going to be ambitious about their education. It was just plain and simple. You either were ambitious about your education or you just weren't particularly hanging out here. I don't care. I'm sorry. And, you know, so that was one of the issues and the problems that I saw that made me focus on literacy when I published the anthology and had so many generous supporters. And I understand that you also published a book, and I want you to tell our listeners about your book. I could read it from the website. And in fact, let me read it from the website. Let me toot your horn. Now, what I appreciate is that we have come together, you and I, Stacy, on this platform, Teacher Talks, because of the different experiences that we both bring to the table. As you stated, you're being an educator, and I'm an advocate, having educated first my own four children, now adults, and, you know, just being hands-on as they matriculated through the educational system, and also being a chaperone at different functions. Just being a hands-on parent before becoming a publisher or an advocate for education. So as we qualify ourselves according to our own walk and experiences, I want to congratulate you, Stacy, because you just recently dropped a new book. In your new book, released July 28th, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, Stacy describes why she is leaving the teaching profession. She shares some of the challenges that she faced during her teaching career. She noticed a pattern over the years that some students suffered from trauma beyond her classroom management skills. And you just heard Stacy say that she never received any type of training in academia in that environment to be able to deal with trauma in the classroom. So we can understand this statement. Trauma-informed classrooms and schools are not the norm, but should be, as I continue on Stacy's website, stacymcclain.com. Many teachers are not trained in mental health and trauma. Childhood trauma should be addressed at many schools, especially at elementary schools. Teacher trauma is an important issue to discuss in the education field as well. Sometimes teachers unconsciously take on students' trauma. This book raises awareness about the issue so that both students and teachers can receive the help that they desperately need. Trauma affects the teacher's ability to teach, and as a result, some teachers feel powerless and flee the profession. Now, we're not going to say Stacy is fleeing the profession by walking away from teaching, because when she left, she felt like she could do a better job outside of the classroom. Now, Stacy, I want you to explain that, because I know on your promotional flyer, it says mental health, childhood trauma, and teacher trauma are issues that should be taken more seriously in schools. I am trying to help teachers and students by searching for answers. That is amazing. So tell us more about that.
Yes, I guess as a teacher, I thought that I would be teaching children, right? But it hasn't quite turned out that way. Teaching actually has been the lowest on the priority list of things I have to do daily as a teacher. It was always, I felt, addressing the kids' needs first. So my teaching, time I spent planning curriculum, all of this stuff always seemed to be secondary. The most important concern was always, as I said, dealing with students and their issues. And some schools have many kids and many classes that have a lot of challenging issues. So it's not just one kid. There are many kids in the classroom with issues, but even if the teacher only has one child with, you know, issues, you have to help the kid. And it's one, because you're the adult in the classroom, you want to help, and that's why you're a teacher. But also, it's like if you can help that child, you can help the whole class too, because if that class, if that one student is disruptive, they're disrupting the whole class. So you need to, you know, attend to that one kid and their needs. And so what I started to realize was that I'm actually addressing societal issues. Like, I'm not necessarily teaching students. I'm tackling issues in society. And so it's like the kid needs help, the teacher needs help coping skills in dealing with the child, and neither one are receiving the help that they need. So it becomes a never-ending cycle of teacher and student not getting help. And this is very pervasive across the country. And we're using the word trauma, but I don't want people to think that this is so extreme or so out of the ordinary. A lot of kids, you know, that come to school, it's not, you might not think it's so extreme, but it actually is. And when you're inside the classroom, people who are not in the classroom may not know, you know, what's actually going on a daily basis. But these kids express how they feel, and there's reasons why kids act out. There's always a reason. So in my head as a teacher, I'm always trying to figure out the background story, like what happened to this kid to result in this. And I feel like if I could somehow, you know, understand that, then I could help the kid manage better in the classroom. But there's one of me, and it became overwhelming, and I just didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't have the coping skills. I didn't have tools. I didn't know what to do. And that was a emotional feeling of being helpless, like literally not knowing what to do. And I don't think administration knew what to do either at any of the schools. Nobody had the answers. So it's basically the teacher fending for him or herself. Even with supportive administration, it was still quite challenging emotionally.
And I appreciate your, you know, explanation as to your experience and why, you know, you choose to address this. Like you said, you know, we may not necessarily from the outside know what's going on the inside of these classrooms, especially if we're not the educators such as yourself or the hands-on parent advocate for education such as myself. So that is why this is the platform that we would like to come together and address just what you said on that last word. You pointed out the emotion involved. So we're going to delve into what secondary traumatic stress is, because you as an educator taking on these types of stresses because you're dealing with the ratio of one of you versus 20 plus students, and usually the ratio for the teacher student is quite high. Just having one student, usually the classrooms are at max capacity. So when you have all of those different emotions to manage, of course, you would take on some of it. It would be impossible not to. It's no different than if someone goes to the office and the boss is grumpy, the coworkers are off kilter, the coffee pot isn't working, the copy machine is acting up, the janitor hasn't come through. You can name everything. The files aren't there. Anything that can throw off the regular balance, the normal balance, like you were saying, your curriculum, you weren't able to address your curriculum for addressing the traumatic issues that the students were bringing to the classroom. So we're going to talk about, in this particular episode, one of six, the emotional side of secondary traumatic stress. So let me just preface by citing an article from our research on the internet and just tell our listeners a little bit about what we have come to realize what secondary traumatic stress is defined as. Coping with the effects of others' trauma can be draining and can have lasting negative effects. It is not uncommon for educators who deal with traumatized children to develop their own symptoms of traumatic stress. This is known as secondary traumatic stress. In order to best serve their students and maintain their own health, educators must be alert to the signs of secondary traumatic stress in themselves and their coworkers. In a trauma-informed school, staff should be encouraged to practice self-care along with other strategies to guard against or heal from the effects of secondary traumatic stress. Oftentimes, that may mean walking away from teaching, writing a book, becoming an advocate, a radio personality, and then sounding the alarm on the airwaves like Stacy is doing to bring attention and awareness. So now, Stacy, the risk factors and causes of secondary traumatic stress, this article goes on to say, certain circumstances can cause you to be more susceptible to secondary traumatic stress. It advises that we, anyone that may be going through this, to seek support and practice self-care to manage the possible effects of these experiences. And the experiences are personal exposure to a traumatic event or events, or to individuals who are coping with their own reactions to trauma. Now, these are the students that we speak of. Direct contact with children's traumatic stories. You have kids coming into class. They don't have to tell you that there's something happening at home. You can see it in their faces. You can see it in their eyes. It reflects in their work and their attention or lack of, just overall interaction or lack of, homework or lack of, preparedness or lack of, helping others and neglecting yourself. These are the risk factors and causes of secondary traumatic stress, helping others and neglecting yourself. So what we're going to talk about is the signs of secondary traumatic stress as we matriculate through this season for 6 months. We're going to address emotional, physical, behavioral, professional, cognitive, spiritual, and interpersonal aspects of secondary traumatic stress. And then we're going to talk about some ways of managing secondary traumatic stress. Stacy, I'm so thankful that you're here as a living testimony to what others may be afraid to say or unable to position themselves to have to take the liberty to say. You have penned a book, you have sounded the alarm, you have become an advocate, and your voice is on a platform that is co-created to bring awareness. Tell us your experience as it relates to the emotional secondary traumatic stress. And in the emotional aspects, this article says that the emotional aspects, it suggests, would be feeling numb or detached, feeling overwhelmed, or maybe even hopeless. Expound, if you will.
Yeah, I definitely can relate to all of those words used to describe emotional secondary traumatic stress. It's the kind of thing where you start to question yourself because you are feeling overwhelmed and you do feel hopeless, helpless, powerless because you don't know what to do and you can't do anything really. And you need help. So it's recognizing that, you know, it's not that you're not strong enough, but you don't know what to do. You need help. And I think a lot of teachers don't want to say that they need help because maybe they think that makes them look like they're not a good teacher or they can't handle their class, that they don't have good classroom management skills. But that's why I think overall, you know, administration and schools need to be set up where teachers feel like it's okay to not know everything and to make mistakes and to learn and grow. And it should be a nurturing place for teachers as well so that they can speak up and won't get ridiculed. But I, for example, definitely felt overwhelmed. There was one incident in particular that comes up a lot in my mind. It's on page 18 in my book, and it was an incident where a first grader in my class wanted to fight me, and he was taking out his anger on me. And I know because it was from something that happened prior at recess time with, you know, whatever boys he was playing with on the yard, and it just transferred to me. And so dealing with the kids all year in a chaotic school where there were a lot of fights, it just broke me. So on page 18, I wrote, "All I could do was cry. It was at that moment when I felt like a defeated and helpless child. I cried in front of the class for the first time ever during my career, first holding back tears and then finally letting the tears flow. I wiped tears from my face with my hand. It wasn't this one incident that made me cry. It was an accumulation of emotions from throughout my teaching career. It was early spring, and I just was tired from dealing with disrespect all year. I didn't want to be a drill sergeant, and I wasn't going to flex on the student. I probably would have asserted myself 10 years ago, but not now. I didn't want to fight anymore," end quote. So just an example of the emotions got to me so much that it actually made me cry. And as I said, I never cried before in 9 years of teaching, even when things got bad. It's just, I'm like, why? How did we get here? How did I become the enemy where a six-year-old wants to fight me? Like, it just didn't make sense. And it went, you know, back to the reason why I wanted to become a teacher, which was my grandmother. One of the reasons being my grandmother teaching in segregated Virginia. And I knew how important education was for Black people, especially during that time. And so it was hard for me to see another Black student, treating me this way. And yeah, I just broke. I didn't know how to deal with it. It's overwhelming. And so I think a lot of teachers actually numb the pain and they look normal or they complain, but maybe act like it's not a big deal. But teachers who work in this environment for a long time may or may not become immune to it, but the ones that do become immune, I don't even know if they realize that this is not normal. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate the fact that you're so transparent with your book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching by Stacey McClam. You all can get that from Amazon on paperback and ebook. Get it on your Kindle. You can also visit Stacey on her website, StaceyMcClam.com, StaceyMcClam.com. And you can also visit us at GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. get those websites out there. What I appreciate is your transparency and your addressing the situation. You know, it welled up inside so much. Like you said, it was an accumulation of really holding it in. And I would ascertain that that would be from wanting so badly to be able to help someone and then coming to the conclusion of realizing, you know what, I just can't help you all at the expense of myself. Because there's no middle ground to this if there is not a module put in the midst to deal with the stresses that the kids bring from home to school. Now, and that has to be a myriad. Like you said earlier, there's only one of you. So if you're dealing with a classroom of 20-plus six-year-olds, and there's issues at home, every home has at least one issue. So let's not, you know, all say at once that we don't have any issues.
Right.
Because there's at least one issue in every house, okay? So if that is that one issue that that child is bringing to school, then you're that one teacher that that child is bringing that issue to. So I can imagine how overwhelming it is times 20 students, and you're not able to do the things that our theme song, our opening song is speaking of, you know, riding in my car, I got to be on time, I got my curriculum all together, and, you know, hey, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher,
right.
You know, you're a real good teacher, you know, a real good teacher. But it comes to that point where only, you know, a person can only take so much. Now, I broke down in front of my students, but there were, you know, they were at home. They were still my students, my children, you know, because
right.
You can only take so much. So the key, the absolute key as a parent is to deal with the issues at home and don't allow our children to carry the weight of our household to school with. As a parent, that is where I'm coming from. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it again. Do not allow our children to carry the weight of our household to school with them. It's not fair to them, and it's not fair to the teachers. And it's not fair to the teachers. So I want to talk about, because, of course, we can address the problems, but unless we're going to come up with some coping mechanisms, we're just going to beat the problem around the bush. So as a publisher, the creator of Gumbo for the Soul Publications, when I was in the thick of those moments trying to mentor and tutor at my kitchen table, I came up with a coping mechanism for the minors that I was raising in my home, okay? I suspected some contention amongst the camp, okay? I had one in high school. No, was he in high school then? No, he wasn't quite in high school. He was about this 7th, maybe 8th grade. I had one in elementary school, or two in elementary school and one in middle school. But I suspected some, you know, the natives becoming a little restless and some anxiety building. And rather than ask anyone flat out what the problem was, because I felt like I was playing my position, okay, so I didn't feel like the problem could be me. However, what I wanted to do is I would pull them together and talk and go on adventures and, you know, very hands-on, very communicative. I bought them journals. Each one of the children were to journal and spend time after school, in the day, after homework, games off, television off, and they were to journal. And they were to journal their feelings. So as a publisher and as someone that grew up journaling, I would say from around maybe eighth grade, because I actually hated journaling. And I remember journaling around the seventh or eighth grade, and it was a release. It was cool. But I didn't go back to it until later in life, around the time that I'm describing now. So I would like to introduce that journaling is a great tool for coping with anxieties, stresses, any type of issues that we may be pressed with. We can find journaling to be a useful tool. And in this season, as you and I go through the season, Stacey, I will be also offering some of the results of my research. And to the end of some of the issues that may be addressed in your book, I would like to say that journaling is a highly recommended stress management tool for many reasons. There has been numerous studies that demonstrate the effectiveness of journaling for health, happiness, and stress management. It's also not only a simple technique, but an enjoyable one if you can really get into it and release and let go. There are many ways to journal and a few limitations on who can benefit. So regardless of how many other stress management techniques you're currently using in your life, there are valuable reasons to add journaling as a habit to your life, whether you journal daily, weekly, or on an as-needed basis. When stress gets to be too intense. So here's what you should know about journaling for stress and anxiety relief. And I'm going to cover two bullet points out of the four that are here, because we have six shows. And so I want to break up this resource into those six shows. And so out of the three points, I'm going to divide them into twos so that they will be dispersed throughout the season. So if you will bear with me, let me set up this article as this, and then I will give the first two points. Journaling can be an extremely helpful tool for stress. One of the ways that journaling can relieve stress is by helping you work through your anxious feelings. This is because feelings of anxiety can lead to stress and rumination when left unchecked. But some of the roots of your anxiety can be minimized through a little focused examination. Journaling can be a powerful tool for examining and shifting thoughts from anxious and ruminative, I don't even know how to say the word, ruminative to empowered and action-oriented. The following plan can help you write your own ticket out of a place of stress and find relief within a few minutes. And this note, if you feel you need more help with your anxiety than an article can provide, then this radio show can discuss. Talk to your doctor, because there are other options available. This article goes on to say that you can also find help dealing with symptoms of anxiety disorders, such as generalized anxiety disorder, social anxiety disorder, and panic disorder. These are things that you can Google. And so here's what the points are for starting your own journey to journaling. And you write about what's on your mind and what's bothering you. You can journal from 5 to 15 minutes, but here are the first two bullet points. And on our next show, Timber, I will give the second two bullet points. So the first bullet point is write about your concerns, writing for several minutes until you feel you have written what needs to be said but haven't delved into a mode of rumination. You may prefer a computer, a journal, or just a pad and paper. If you are using paper, please skip a line or two for every line you use. This will be handy later because the spacing will allow you to just really read through it clear and uncluttered. So point one is to write about your concerns, write for several minutes, write what needs to be said, get it all out, be it on computer, in a journal, paper, pencil, whatever. But get it out. Skip a line if you're using paper or pen. Now, point number two, detail what is happening right now, describing the events that are currently causing difficulties. Keep in mind that with anxiety, sometimes it isn't what is currently happening that is causing stress, but rather your concerns about what is happening, your concerns about what could happen from here. So let me repeat that. Keep in mind that with anxiety, sometimes it isn't what is currently happening that is causing stress, but rather your concerns about what could happen from here. If this is the case for you, it's okay. You can write about what is currently happening, and just note that the only part that is really stressful is the possibility of what could happen next. This, in fact, may be a realization that brings some stress relief in itself. When you target that, your mind is anticipating what could happen, and that's causing some stress. Just that alone is a relief in itself that you can note that could be a trigger. So you don't want to think too far ahead as to what could be happening, and just write about the difficulty of the moment right now. And I know that may be easy for a lot of people to say that aren't living through your particular difficulty, but it's okay. Eat the meat, throw away the bones. And Stacey, did you have anything that you might want to add to that?
I definitely agree with the journaling for kids and adults. And even if you have young kids, I've seen therapists that worked at some of my schools actually have the kids draw. And you get a lot of information from the drawings because you can question the kids, you know, about what they drew. Why is this student over here? Who is this person? Why are these people in your drawings? You know, what are they talking about? Are they fighting? So visual representations as well for the younger kids, but journaling definitely, again, for kids and adults, because it's not even something that I did before. I guess I thought it was something you just did if you had free time, and I chose to spend my free time other ways. It never occurred to me that this was something I could do on my own as a way to relieve stress. And also, it's basically therapy for yourself because you're able to see, you know, what you're dealing with. Like, you're exposing it to yourself when you see it on the paper, at least for me. That's what has happened now that I've started journaling. So it's a very effective tool, very effective.
And that is so profound, what you said. You're exposing it to yourself, you know, because sometimes we're not honest with ourselves. You know, we don't
exactly
tell ourselves the truth. And, you know, we know that, hey, this situation is not cool, or, you know, this is causing the stress, or the source of why I feel less really happened over on the right. You know, and so that is very profound that you would say that, you know, we're revealing it to ourselves, revealing ourselves to ourselves, basically. And mm-hmm. did you have anything else that you could share with our listeners from your book? And I would love for you to remind our listeners, as I remind them, they are tuned in to Teacher Talks, and this is live on Tri-Family Channel. This is our debut show. I'm Beverly Black, and over here with me is Stacey McClam, and together we are bringing informative discussions about trauma in schools affecting educators, and that is known as secondary traumatic stress. So we're going to be bringing enlightening information, and we welcome your calls and input. Stacey wrote a book. Tell us about this book, Stacey.
Well, the book addresses my experience over the years. There's a chapter on childhood trauma. There's a chapter on teacher trauma. There's a chapter on how I feel like I became the enemy in the classroom. It goes over my dilemmas in terms of what do I do next, not knowing what to do next. It makes you question a lot of things and question yourself. So, and you mentioned before one of the signs of secondary traumatic stress is the emotional aspect, and of the emotional aspect, one of those is numbing yourself or being detached. And so on page 32 and 33 of my book, I wrote, "Chaos is normal at many schools. I was going crazy. I couldn't express my pain. I couldn't wrap my head around the chaos that I saw on a daily basis at school. I would tell the other teachers that this was not normal in order to reassure myself that I was not crazy. Unfortunately, this was not a bad dream. This was reality. I would often question myself, was I being complacent and desensitized if I didn't seem bothered by the bad behavior at the school? Was I supposed to be shocked? How could chaos ever become normal? Should I just let it be?" End quote. So I was constantly talking to other teachers and questioning myself, like, am I crazy? Do they see what I see? I wanted to be reassured that they also saw what was going on, and I guess I just couldn't understand how this was normal. Like, what are we going to do about it? Why is this okay for, kids not being able to get the help that they need? And it's not right. And it definitely makes you feel numb to the situation. Over time, I felt myself even distancing myself from some of the kids. It was too emotional. It hurt too much to try to get close to the kids, as weird as that sounds. I wanted to distance myself from their pain. But you kind of need that intimate relationship as a teacher to teach. You know, you have to understand the kid. They have to understand you. You have to be vulnerable, actually, in the classroom. The child has to trust you, and actually the teacher has to not trust the child, but understand, like, have a connection with the child. That's part of learning,
right?
Even when you have more than one kid in the class. Yeah, in order to get through to them, there has to be some kind of connection. And so if I'm numb because of this traumatic stress, I'm not even available to them. They're not available to me. And that's problematic. And then nobody learns. So.
And we don't want to just say traumatic stress. We want to say secondary traumatic stress, because the idea that we need people to understand is that teachers are taking on the stress of the students that is coming into the schools, bringing it from homes, from the communities, from the society that we live in. Now, I described having my kids' journal and the healing effects therein. I didn't go into the healing effects, but I will say this. It was therapeutic for them, and I felt a better sense of allowing them to have an outlet and not feel as though they weren't to be understood, and that it was do as I say, do and not as I do. And you always want to have, like you say, that connection. You want to be able to get through. You don't want the children throwing up the wall. But then what do you do when the secondary traumatic stress coming to roost in your home and affecting you as the educator? And like you said, you found yourself avoiding certain kids because you knew, okay, what was happening in that person's purview. And being that the schools are not trained to address secondary traumatic stress, you're vulnerable and you're a victim at the same time, because you're expected to uphold a certain decorum at the school. And here you find yourself overwhelmed to the point of tears. Now, in your book, what page was that on where you said you just broke and found yourself in tears in front of the class? What page on your book?
Page 18.
Page 18. Now, ladies and gentlemen, go out to Amazon and get Stacy's book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. Now, Stacy felt, and I've talked to you so many times, that you could better help students outside of the classroom. So in order for you to address secondary traumatic stress, you have to remove yourself from what's causing the secondary traumatic stress. And now that you've written a book about it, you're ready to speak about it. I understand that you are available for speaking engagements. You are now not only an author, but an advocate. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, a radio personality debuting right here live on Teacher Talks. And so I just want to commend you for being a teacher, an educator, and an advocate, someone that is speaking up, talking about secondary traumatic stress, dealing with it, overcoming it, walking through it, journaling, and taking that road to healing. So we will be back live on September 4th, 2018. We have come to nearly the end of this broadcast, our debut show, and it has been not only an honor and a privilege, but it's been a pleasure to join forces with you, Stacy, to bring this rife and relevant, profound subject, secondary traumatic stress. So what would you like our listeners to know going out in conclusion to this episode? And take your time, and then be sure to, again, shout out your book and where our listeners can get it.
Sure. I would like everybody to know, whether you're a teacher or not, if you are at a workplace where you feel like you're taking on a lot of stress, you need to be aware yourself that, you know, this is not normal. Maybe your emotions are getting to you, and you have to take action. And it's more, I feel, than basic self-care. Everyone knows you should exercise and eat right and drink water and, you know, take care of yourself, sleep well, all of those things we know. But I think it's more than that. It's the coping skills aspect, I think, and like having a plan, trying to figure out what to do. It's not as so simple as one might think, that, you know, if I just go get a massage, everything's going to be better. No, we have to, it's a holistic type of deal. So and that's why I think it goes back to your journaling point. You have to, the journaling will get to the root of the problem, and then once you see it yourself, then you can try to take action that way. So if you have kids, and I would be nice to your teachers, encourage the teachers at your school when you see them, even if you don't see them, email them, ask them what's going on. Ask about them, not just, your child, because even if the teacher might tell you that they had a bad day, the parents have power too, and they can go to administration and say, you know, the teachers need help with this. And it helps when it's not just the teacher saying they need help, when parents also can see some of the issues at the school and help the teachers out by going to administration or supporting the teachers or, you know, asking the teachers questions, trying to be a team player with the school and the teacher. That definitely helps a lot to reduce the teacher's stress, because again, some parents may not know what the teachers are going through. Some parents, you know, drop off their kids and they have no idea what's going on at the school or in the specific classrooms. So, I would even invite parents to observe the classroom, or not even if you don't go in the classroom, just take a random day and, you know, go to the school, get a visitor's pass, and just look in the hallways. You'll get a good idea of what kind of school it is just by looking in the hallway for 2 minutes. Like, what's going on in the hallways? Are kids in class? Are they out of class? And even at elementary schools, it's very obvious. Or, you know, going when your kids have recess time, find out when recess time is. Just pop in for 15 minutes during recess, see what's going on, and you'll get a good idea. And if things seem chaotic when you come to visit, best believe they're like that all the time. And so the teacher's dealing with a lot. And so you can help the teacher a lot, again, by talking to the teacher and asking if they need anything, honestly. So I'm so happy we were able to talk about this important topic. It means a lot to me. You can find my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, on Amazon, and you can visit my website, Stacey McClam, www.staciemcclam.com. You can find me on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Stacey McClam, and you can also join my Facebook page, School Dismissed, where I talk about relevant topics in education.
And the conversation shall continue. So I want to thank you so much, Stacey, for holding it down on Teacher Talks, bringing such, you know, relevant conversation and profound points for us to consider, where we can definitely be of a support system to not only our students, but the educators as well. So thank you for bringing your aspects of your observances from an educator's aspect, and I appreciate that. I, too, have taken the time to sit at the schools, and like you said, you can just go get a pass, a visitor's pass, and it's, you know, just before lunch, and just go find a spot out on the schoolyard and sit back and observe when the bell rings and, you know, how they come out and how they assemble and where the cliques start up and, you know, where they go out and, you know, how they congregate and just what's happening. You get a feel of the culture of the school if you just go and observe, because anyone should want to see what type of environment their child is in. And so I want to thank you, Stacey, for that very profound point. The takeaway that I want to give our listeners, and this came to me, I'm a quoteologist, and this quote came to me as an at-home mom. I had worked 35 years in electronics, had not started Gumbo for the Soul publications or Tri-Family Channel. I was at home with the kids, raising them, and always having these type of creative avenues percolating in me. I'm just a creative person. So how do you do what you need to do while your hands are so full and you've got everything riding on you? You're taking care of the house, the children, the husband, the shopping, the meals, the laundry, everything. what do you do when you have this creative side to yourself? My quote, you can't do everything in one day, but you can do something every day. So I don't care how tired up you are, how much life is pressing you for more and more and more, do not give up the individual side of yourself, the writing, the poetry, the fashion designer, the creative painter, whoever you are, the musician, the singer, whoever I'm speaking to out there, the dancer, the seamstress, the stylist, the makeup artist, the actress, the actor, whoever you are, you can't do everything in one day, but you can do something every day to reach that goal and that dream. And that's what I would like for all of our listeners to know from me. And that concludes this episode of Teachers Talks. We will be back September 4th. And we will be right here live on Tribe Family Channel. You can dig up the archives of this episode by following our studio at blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. Our parent company is Gumbo for the Soul International, and that is GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. We are on social media, Facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel. Twitter at Tribe Family US, and you can email us. If you would like to be a guest on this show, email tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. That is Tribe, T-R-I-B-E, talent, respect, inspiration, beauty, empowerment, family channel @gmail.com. So we're going to go ahead and take it on out. This is a salute to all of the teachers and educators and advocates out there. Everyone, continue to be blessed and be a blessing. Stacy, we will talk soon, my sister, and continue blessings.
Yes, thank you. Same to you. Same to you.
Thank you. God bless, and here we go, y'all. Teacher Talks, first episode. It was great. Thank you again for tuning in.
I'm feeling like a star. You can't stop my shine. This class is all mine. Gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today. Sporting backpacks and they're on their way. Yo, kind of love the things we like. Going to my class, everything's alright. Oh, no one as smart as you. No one as cool as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together, I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse.
Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star. You can't stop my shine. This class is all mine. So open up the minds. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
I run my class like I know I should. I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood. I'm the difference in my class for the greater good. Yeah.
Getting my class to spread the wind. Being at school makes me wanna sing. Oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together. Teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine, this class is on high, gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Teacher, I'm a teacher, yeah,
yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine, oh, class is online, gotta open up the mind. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.